Praise God. God is so good. Today we're going to be talking about the times of the Gentiles and the coming King. And this is more of a Bible study than it is a sermon. But I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 21. We're going to be talking about the words of Jesus Christ here about the end time. And we know that it's happening. If you can't see today, any of you people here, if you can't see today that things are not like they used to be, and things are much more severe, and what on earth is going to happen next, and that Jesus Christ is going to end it all up. This is going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come anytime. And that's the attitude the Lord wants us to have, so that we are ready at any time, whether it's the middle of the night, whether we're sitting right here, whether we're in the grocery store. We want to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come at any time. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word. We thank you, Father, for the word of God, which is so full and so rich and so such a blessing to our hearts. We just pray that you will just bless this word to us today, Father, as we study your word together and think about the nearness of the coming of Jesus. We praise you. Hallelujah. In this chapter 21, of course, Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet, and he's there in the temple. And notice in verse 1, he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Little mite was the very lowest of anything they could give. But this poor woman had nothing but just two little mites, and she gave it to the Lord. And he said, of a truth I say to you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she in her penury, and that word means poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. What a thing. To Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, it doesn't say here that the disciples are looking around at the temple and saying how wonderful it is. We have these rich men that we see in verse 1 that were there casting in their gifts, and I think it may be referring to them. Those unbelievers of Israel that were the mighty men, the one that had lots of wealth, the one that worshiped at the temple constantly and gave their offerings to the Lord. And as he spoke this, how it was, they were speaking, talking about how the greatness of it, you know, and exalting the wonderful thing that they had done by building this temple. Then in verse 6, as for these things which you behold, the day will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, Jesus speaking here is speaking about the near future, and then he's speaking about the long future. Because in 70 AD, Rome attacked Jerusalem, and they tore this temple that was built by King Herod completely apart and threw the big stones down that were made up the wall except for one wall. And you see that if you watch the news, you see the Jews praying beside this great big wall. That's all that is left of the temple that was there when Jesus was there. This temple was doomed. They would not worship the Christ. So the Lord allowed them to just have the loss of their entire structure, the temple. And now, of course, the Mosque of Omar is sitting on the top of it. But praise the Lord worked. He brought about this because he was displeased with Israel. The scripture says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. To as many as received him, they become the sons of God. That's what it says in John chapter 1. And so praise the Lord for people who believe, those disciples that were with him and others that he met and ministered to. They were believing that he was the Son of God. But very short term here, after this chapter, they're going to crucify the Lord. They're going to crucify their Redeemer, their Messiah. Yes, it's true. So this temple was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. If you go online, you can see, look up Jerusalem and look up the stones of the temple, and it showed you that these massive stones are laying down by this great big wall. It's amazing just to think of. That happened right back there at 70 A.D., when Jesus said there would not be one stone upon another. Verse 7, and they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And so he begins to give them signs now. And he says in verse 8, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So immediately we know that through time there have been people who declared that they were Messiah. In my lifetime, I know of about 4 or 5 people that said they were Jesus Christ incarnated. You probably remember that in the news also. Different ones that said that they were Christ. And had people, great followings, followers worshiping, great numbers of followers. So it's a time when deceit is at hand. And of course, the Antichrist is going to come, and he'll be the greatest deceiver that mankind has ever seen, except for the devil. The devil will so empower him that he will have the answers to all things. Oh yes, just believe in me and I will have peace on the earth. Everything will be wonderful and fine. So he says that many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And that has happened over the centuries. And the time draweth near. Go you not, therefore, after them. You know, when he says the time draws near, and we think about that, how he was in the beginning, way back there, of the church age. That church age started, and here we are clear at the end of the church age now. Almost ready for Jesus Christ to return, come back again. And there have been so many over the centuries who have declared that they were Christ, that they were the one to follow. And yet, he says here, and the time draw near. See, to God, it says in another place, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, you know, it's been over a little over 2,000 years now since Christ was here on the earth. And here we've been saying he's coming soon. Paul was saying that he's coming soon, he's coming soon. Here it's been all this time. Why? Why would God be waiting so long? We don't know. I won't tell you what the answer is because we really don't know exactly why. Except that one scripture tells us that he is not willing that any should perish. So his message keeps going forth by ministers today, even if they don't know all the word of God like we believe or whatever. They are preaching salvation. There are many people being born again, different places. And it's all in the will of God because he has not sent his son yet to come and be with us. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. During this 2,000 years, there have been many, many wars. You know, like I said, the Romans came against Israel and just wiped out the temple and scattered the Jews everywhere. I was reading an article this past week that showed a group of Israelis that are in Europe, pardon me, in Ethiopia. That's what I want to say. Ethiopia. And there in Ethiopia, the Christians have now infiltrated into that group and are presenting Christ to them, and many of them are getting saved. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And they are looking, they were looking to the Messiah that would come someday. So it looks like he's come to them. Praise the Lord. And I pray that they will receive Christ. They live such in poverty. They are just living in a poverty situation out in the hot desert. But these Christians are taking food and they're taking clothing and they're ministering the Word of God. And thank God for that. So we know that there are many things that have happened in this world, and time seems to just keep going on and on and on and on. And right now we have situations that look like there's going to be more trouble with Ukraine and Russia and other places where people are just kind of sharpening their swords, like Korea. North Korea just sent off a big rocket that was very, very powerful thing. And everybody was so amazed that they had that ability. There's all kinds of things that are happening. But what does he say? Be not terrified. Do not be terrified. We see it happen. We can see things that are going on in this world. They're absolutely weird, aren't they? The things of this world, the things in the United States that are so weird and so against God. But he says, when you hear of these things, don't be terrified. How do we do that? Do we just get up in the morning and say, now today I'm not going to be worried about anything. I'm going to just go and do my life and everything, and I'm not going to be worried. That will never work, and you know it as well as I. We cannot just declare that we're going to be overcomers. We talk about overcomers, or people who are not looking at all the situation around and being disturbed. I'm disturbed sometimes at what's going on in this world. I want the Lord to come right away, and it seems like things are just kind of going along, being repeated. And so he says, don't be terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The words by and by just means they haven't come yet. The great by and by, the future by and by, there's a song that way. But that just means it hasn't come yet. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come and delivered. In verse 10, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from the heaven. From the time Jesus Christ was here and said these words until our time, and even in our time, these things are happening. There have been great, great earthquakes in places. Just this last week, wasn't that something that a volcano erupted in the Pacific Ocean, caused a bunch of problems? Yes, going to be some big waters coming into people's lands, different continents, different places. All of those things happening. These are signs, all of these things. Why would God do that? I mean, people get killed when there's an earthquake, when there, you know, is a famine. He's trying to speak to people that this life is just temporary. It's not going to be here forever. We have to be ready to go to be with the Lord. And that's what he's saying. There'll be famines. There's going to be pestilences. Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Praise the Lord. Yes. Then in verse 12, but before all of these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, he's speaking to his apostles here, and exactly that took place. They suffered much. Many of them were martyred. The first one was martyred. There it shows us in the book of Acts, not too long after Jesus returned to heaven. And eventually, all of them except John the Beloved, that wrote all of the books of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of John, he lived to be an old man. though he went through some horrible, horrific things, like being boiled in oil and then being put on the Isle of Patmos to be out there alone and just keep on maintaining. That's where he got the revelation of the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. He warned them that this is going to happen. The Christians are going to be persecuted. And all through this church age, especially back in the 1500s, when truth began to be manifest again, boy, Christians started suffering many, many terrible, terrible persecutions in foreign lands. Yes. So here we are, almost to the end of time, and we believe it. We believe we're almost to the end of the church age. It shall turn to you for a testimony, he says. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall be able to gainsay, shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. They would not be able to refute it, is what gainsay means. In other words, somebody saying something after you say something and they correct you on it. They tell you what their truth is. That's not going to be the case. The Lord is going to allow his word to go forth, and that's what's taken place all of this church age, all through the centuries, all of the bad stuff that's happened, the dark ages, all of those things that we know about. All of this has happened, yet the Lord is still in control. And now we believe that it is his time. He does things in his own time, the scripture says. Verse 17, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And, you know, we think of that. What did he mean by that? Because most of them were killed. You know, they say Paul's head was chopped off. Different things, yet not a hair of their head was bothered. You know, I think that these words here are also, God has, you know, they kind of foretell what's going to happen in the future too. And this may be a promise even to those in the tribulation that go through all of the terrible things because they weren't ready to go in the rapture. They weren't ready to go when Jesus called his people. Even in the second rank, some of them will not be ready to go. And they will be earth dwellers and live here on the earth. And the Lord will watch after his people. But there will be many Christians that are martyred because they didn't take the mark of the beast during that 7 years of tribulation. Praise the Lord. God is good. And then in verse 20, he says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, we know that that took place in 70 A.D. when Rome came in there and just destroyed everything. But we know that in the future, it's going to happen again. The Antichrist will come against Israel after he has made this treaty with them and said he will take care of them and all of the things he's going to promise. Then he's going to turn on them. You can read that in the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. And we want to read verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We are living in the Gentile time right now. You see, before this, God only dealt with Israel mainly. There were a few people of other races that were saved in the Old Testament and in the early New Testament times. Apostle Paul came out and he began to preach all to the other people, to the Gentiles, and many were saved. But at the end of the age, it's going to be the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It'll be time then for the Gentile to go their way. God will bring judgment to all those that don't believe. And he will again begin dealing with Israel. And they will be the main nation on the earth during the millennial reign. There will be other people here also. We know that from the scripture. But the Jewish people that believe in Christ will be the ones who reign in this earth. And the Lord will we will be in heaven with the Lord, reigning with him. Praise the Lord. Yes, glory to God. The tribulation of 7 years. Paul, Matthew 24:22 says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And the elect is speaking of the believers that are still here on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to come. In 1948, Israel became a nation. Isn't that an amazing thing? After all those centuries of being scattered all over the world, different places, like we said, this group that's down there in Ethiopia now that they are trying to minister to, that are Jews, that are, were scattered way back there. They were scattered all over the world. You see ads on TV about the Russian Jews that are so needy, that don't have any food hardly at all, the old people that are living in such horrible conditions, and how we should give to them to help them. The Jews are still scattered in many, many places all over the earth, but the Lord is going to draw them back. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Ezekiel. This is a different type of message than I usually bring, but I just want to go back here to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. These chapters from 37, 38, and 39 are especially prophecies about Israel, what will happen to Israel. And in this first chapter, we look at chapter 37, beginning in verse 1, we see the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel and carried me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, what he saw, we're not going to read every verse and we're not going to dwell on this because I want to get to some other things. But Ezekiel was given a vision where Israel was all dead. Israel was dead. They were dead bones everywhere, old bones that were completely, the flesh completely rotted off of. And that was a picture of Israel. Israel rejected the Son of God and became as dead bones. They were already as dead bones. If you read from the Old Testament, you realize that the 10 tribes, which separated from the 2 tribes, which are called Judah, the 10 tribes are called Israel, you realize that those tribes of the 10 tribes went into idolatry to the extent that God allowed them to be completely sent out of their land. They were taken first by the Assyrians. They were taken out of their land and made to be slaves to the Assyrians. They were so disobedient to God, those 10 tribes. The true tribes that were left were Judah and Benjamin. And Judah and Benjamin continued to worship God, though they were, you know, they were in rejection of Christ, but they continued to worship God, and they are called Jews, okay? And they're called Judah. But what do we see today? We see that God, if you read this chapter, I hope you have read it before in the first part, these dead bones are laying there, and Ezekiel, he asks, we have to read verse 6. I will lay sinew upon you, I will bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bones to his bone. And so the bones, you've probably heard that little song, you know, that they've sung in time past. The hip bone connected to the thigh bone, and thigh bone connected to the knee bone. You remember that song? Different quartets used to sing that song when I was a child, and I loved that song. But that's what God said would come to Israel, because Israel was so split all over the world, cast out all over the world. And he says in the end time, life is going to come back into Israel, and they are going to be the chosen people on the earth. Isn't that interesting? Read it all if you haven't read it. Many of us have read it, but you read it all. And in verse 11, it says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." Now, right now we have the 10 tribes, Israel, we have had in the past, I have to say that. And then we had the 2 tribes, as I said. But what are they called now? They have come back to their land. See, there's some life coming into the dead bones. They've come back to their land, and what are they called? Israel. That division is not there now. People have come to the land of Israel. They're from all different kinds of tribes. And people whose last name is Cohen, they are Kohathites. And Israel has found that they are of the tribe of Aaron, and they're trying to get the things built for the new temple, and that will be their group of priests. And those guys are training to be the priests, have been for several years. Praise the Lord. So our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we're cut off from our parts. That's what happened to them back there. But now God has restored them. And then in verse 13, well, in verse 12, he says, "I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel." They were not in the land of Israel except for very, very few people there. The Arab countries had taken it completely over. I want us just to realize today how God keeps his word. He said this way back in 587 B.C., and it happened just like he said. They came there to that land. I've read several books about the war there and different things that happened. Oh, my goodness, how they suffered to get that war settled and claim that land as their own. And many, many nations were against them. But God raised up the United States to say yes. Truman said yes. They will be recognized as a nation. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That was God. See, God brought them out of their graves. Verse 13, "You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Now we have something sad to say. Not very many of the Israelites know Jesus as their Lord. Not very many of them think anything about a kingdom set up on this earth that God was going to bless to them. They are there in their land, and this is a great sign to us that the time of the end is at hand when God is going to really set them free. But many, many of them do not believe, even in God. I've just been so shocked sometimes, like when the gay pride people went over to Jerusalem and had a great big to-do and marched all through the town with all their signs. Israel didn't say one word. They allowed them to do it. They allowed everything to just go on like it was normal. The majority of Israelis don't believe in God. Can you believe that? They say 1% do. That's not many. The Orthodox Jews are still carrying on religion, but they don't have a temple. They're trying to get things going. You can see that we're still not quite there. When they fully submit themselves to the Lord, when he comes back in power and glory, only 1/3 of Israel will be left. That's what the prophecy teaches us. 1/3 of Israel will be left. And they will see the Son of Man coming in his glory, and they will receive him as their Messiah, and the Lord will set up the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be in heaven. Praise the Lord. But the Israelites that are left over, that 1/3, imagine that, 1/3 of all the Jews in the whole world are going to be left. And they will then believe on him, and they will receive the kingdom of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. This goes on, and if you'd like to read chapter 38, chapter 39, it's a beneficial thing, and we've studied that before, but if you have a desire to know more about God's plan, it's all set down right here for us. Praise the Lord that he's going to deal with Israel fully again. And so we praise God for that. But then on the other hand, I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 1. And now we're going to just talk about our side. We are now members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He was talking to Gentile people here. Gentiles, the opposite of Jewish, okay? That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Think of what we have in Christ. Because Christ died for the world. The Jews rejected him, but then God said, whosoever will to the Lord may come. And as we have come to the Lord, we've been enriched by him and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Why did he say that? I think he said that last phrase, God is faithful, because a lot of times we want to be an overcomer. We want to be in that group that are taken when the Lord comes, but we have doubt, and we look at ourselves a lot of times, which we're not supposed to do, and we say, well, I'm a miserable failure, or whatever the devil brings up. And so the Lord wants us to realize that God is faithful, and he is working in our lives. Today, he is going to bring us into that place that we should be. He's doing it. Not our job. It's our job to let him. That's what our part is. Let him. Let him be our all in all. Glory to God. We're going to read another verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Let's turn there. You know I like Thessalonians. We go there quite a bit. There's Thessalonians 2:19. Praise the Lord. This is our hope and our joy and crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Apostle Paul carried a lot of burdens. He had many, many people that he had ministered to that he prayed for that they would be overcomers and yield their lives to God. And that's why he's saying this. This is our hope and our joy and our crowning rejoicing that you follow the Lord, that you walk with him, and you let him work in you. And it says, even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And those who are yielded and watching and waiting for Christ are going to be ready to go. Praise the Lord. This life is nothing. This life is nothing. But we have so much in Christ, don't we? Then we have 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You know, we talk about the provisional side of the gospel. We want to be an overcomer. We want to be there with the Lord, all this. And we can say, yes, we're going to be there. There's a practical side of that. And the Lord is going to exalt those who humble themselves before the Lord. You see, we can't be exalted in self and expect to have this great prize that he's going to give to those that are yielding to God. And so he says that we are to... The Lord, he's praying, will establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. And let this love abound in us and increase in that love. There are things that God is doing right now, isn't he? You and I are not ready yet. You know that, don't you? If you were totally ready to be in that group of overcomers, you wouldn't be here. He hasn't taken you away, hasn't taken me away, so he's still working on me. He's still working on me. That's what he's doing. He's working on you too. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he's going to work until our hearts are unblameable in holiness. Unblameable in holiness. We all still have an old nature, don't we? We pray and we try to not let that old nature rule us, and that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be yielded to the Spirit that old nature does not rule us, okay? Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means he's going to take you and set you apart to himself, that his will be done in your life, not your own will, but his will. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And I really believe it, saints of God, that Christ could come at any moment. Any moment. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that the Word of God teaches that. Just look at the daily news. Look at all the junk that's happening in this world. Volcanic eruption, like I said before, in the Pacific that's caused high waves in the western coast in different places. These are many signs all the time. Every day we see these signs. And I know that the Lord is trying to speak. He's trying to speak to us. Do we have ears to hear him? Or do we not? He wants to talk to us and tell us things that are secrets. And as we give him our heart and our ears and really just let him dominate our life, the reward is going to be so great in heaven. But at this moment, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so precious. Oh, if you don't have that peace, just give it to Jesus. Give everything to Jesus. He loves you so much. Oh, I tell you, the Lord is so precious to me all the time. Lots of time I'm by myself, you know. You all know that. But the Lord is always there. He's there with me. Oh, I praise him for his goodness to us.